This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
The time. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Brian Gary, my co-host, as we're pumping out some Toby Keith music here. Would have been the late, great Toby Keith's birthday today. We're excited for our next conversation, our monthly conversation with Life Stories. And today we've got Maria Pena and Abby Workman joining us here from Life Stories. Abby, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you in today. Maria,
hey, good job.
Are you?
Didn't swear yet. All right.
Maria, we're cool. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Okay,
I'm great.
Good. I thought awesome. Like next thing was just going to be an F-bomb.
Yeah. I thought about it.
Well, I am so effing proud of you.
We didn't take it that way. I am fan-freaking-tastic.
Thank you guys so much for being here today. And it is July, and we're right in the middle of Making a Difference for Children Month. And I want to talk with you guys first, because this is always so inspiring for not just Brian and I, but our listeners, about how you guys got involved with Life Stories. And Maria, if you'd tell us your story, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, actually pretty random. I was working a job, didn't really like that job. Mm-hmm. Would go to a coffee shop that was right next door to my job, and I just happened to see coffee with CASA. At the time I didn't know what CASA was. Yeah. Yeah, it was like maybe 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now. And I sat there, and I would see them every day for like a week. I saw them every day. The last day that they were going to be there, I just kind of jumped in, started asking questions, and the ball rolled from there. And I was like, oh, my Lord, like, this is what I want to do. I would love to do this. And I became a volunteer. I now have about 5 years under my belt. And now I actually work for Life Stories, which is a dream come true. And I am a CASA supervisor. And I love what I do every day. I get to wake up and know that in some way, shape, or form, our organization and the people that are a part of it are just making a difference daily. Even as I'm sitting at my desk, I know that people like Abby, who are CASA volunteers, are jumping in there in the space that some people may not want to jump in.
Right.
They jump in and they just get it done.
And CASA, again, if you're new, I haven't heard about it. It's court-appointed special advocate. And it's giving a voice for children. And Abby, how about you? How did you get involved?
My sister is actually involved in the child services for Weld County and the adoption services. So she had made me aware of the organization called Life Stories. And I was looking to volunteer and get involved in some aspect of the community. And we have foster children that we have adopted in our family. So it's kind of a organization that touches close to my heart and close to our home.
Did you know what to expect when you first signed up?
No, I didn't. The training is amazing, and it's really informative. But until you actually hit the boots on the ground, nobody can really prepare you for the children that you're going to meet or the situations that you're going to walk into.
I have to imagine that. I mean, you can prepare yourself emotionally. So I don't know how you go through emotional drills and these kind of things, but you have to be able to hear some horrifying things, but not project that with your face. And I've got to imagine that takes some practice.
A lot of calming energy is brought forth when we're talking to these kids and when we're meeting them initially. It's you want to be a safe space. You want to be a place that their voice is heard and a place that they feel like you are advocating for them. So coming in, you know, expecting the worst, but hoping for the best and helping in any way that you can is really the only way you can go into it. I mean, you can emotionally prepare as much as you can, but each story is different and every child is different. So there's really no way.
Well, and every relationship with that child and trying to get the conversation out of being able to gauge when, okay, I'm picking this up. I think I can push a little deeper here.
Mm-hmm.
Or right now I need to step back a little bit because of the response there and so mm-hmm. forth.
Well, Maria, you were giving a thumbs up here when he said about that emotional control. Is that something that you guys try and hammer home to the CASA volunteers?
So really, Yes, and it's really about responding the right way when a child does tell us something that for us is unfathomable, but for them it was their reality, and trying to make them feel that they are not being judged for what was done to them, what was done around them, what they have to share with us. But really, we always talk about taking care of yourself. Afterward, taking that time to just decompress, let it all go so that it all of that stuff doesn't sit there. And so when we have to have our quote unquote game face on for our children, or even in a professional setting, even when we're trying to listen to some of the things that have gone on, it helps us to have that ability to better sit there, sit back and just observe. So that's probably one of the things that we do, because really emotional planning and things, that one's a little bit more difficult, but taking care of yourself after those emotional roller coaster moments that you have.
It has to be essential.
Yeah, it is.
Well, as we're sitting here having this conversation, if we ever get invited to a poker tournament with Life Stories individuals, we're out. Because, I mean, you guys, you do have to have a little bit of that poker face. And my question for you, Abby, like as a volunteer, 10 to 15 hours a month, I mean, a lot of people look at it and say, I'm swamped. Everybody's got something going on in their life. But 10 to 15 hours a month, was it more or less? How did that turn out for you?
I'm actually working on two open cases right now, so I have a little bit more than 10 to 15 hours a month, and I also have a job that allots me the flexibility to volunteer and do these things. I'm also a real estate agent, so I can kind of make my own schedule and work around these things. So it really is. It's rewarding and it's fulfilling, and it doesn't feel like 10 to 15 hours a month. It feels like not that much. It feels like the effort that you're putting in is well worth the time that you're sacrificing and that you're volunteering to help these children, and help them feel safe and feel comfortable and get them where they need to be.
Doesn't it kind of just make you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do? In a sense,
yeah.
It's what we're all supposed to do is pay attention and listen and so forth. But I would think when you're volunteering your time, your hours, yeah, it may be 15, but it can turn into whatever it needs to turn into.
It's not 15 every month. You know, it's sometimes I'm with them for 5 hours a month. Sometimes I'm with them for 15. Sometimes we have court cases, so I'm on Zoom for an hour and a half, which, factors into it. So it's not guaranteed 15 every month. It's just kind of a roundabout number that they would like you to prepare for, but that's not always the case. And even if it is, more than that or less than that, it is so fulfilling. You're not paying attention to how much time you're giving. Nobody's sitting there clocking their hours about how much they're giving to this child. It's what needs to be done, and it's fulfilling, and you feel great for doing it, but it's not something that you track.
Yeah. That's completely fair. But just even that, even at the top or, top end of that 15 hours or even more, like you just said, it that is, in the grand scheme of things, you're never going to go, boy, I wish I had those 15 hours back, because of the difference you're making for these children. And Maria, I'm sure you've seen a number of volunteers come through that door. How are we doing with CASA volunteers? Do we need more?
Oh, definitely. We need more. Right now, we have 22 children who are without a CASA right now. We have that many cases that are opening up, and we have more weekly. We have hearings that we go to for these types of cases that are going to come into Life Stories. And like I said, right now we have about 22 children that are without a CASA volunteer. And we know that a lot of people just feel strapped for finances and strapped for time. But I have yet to hear a CASA say, yeah, that really wasn't worth it. I have yet to hear that. I mean, within our system, there are things that we are not going to agree with. There are things that we're going to see that we're like, I wish we could change that. But I have yet to hear a CASA or anybody that has come out of the organization of Life Stories say, yeah, that really wasn't worth my time. It's actually, I wish I could do more.
Yeah.
I wish I could be with those kids more. I wish I could do these things. And one thing that, we've had to tell some of our CASAs is you just being present with them while they walk through some of the worst days of their lives and the moments within their whole family dynamic is probably the best thing you could do for this child at this time. And we hear stories all the time. I'm pretty sure Abby has had them within the cases that she has, where these kids rely on seeing that CASA when they need to. Or we have CASAs that their children text with them and say, hey, I just need some support right now with these things. Our CASAs are there when these children are being placed in one from one place to another. Our CASAs are there when they're going through their birthdays or, you know, these special moments at school. So, again, I have yet to hear somebody say, yeah, that totally was not worth my time.
I think, honestly, as you're talking, like, every sentence you were beginning is, the CASAs are there.
Yeah.
And you could stop it at that because so many of these children,
yes,
the people in their lives that were supposed to be there weren't there. Yep. And that is what you can do and provide for the future of our community is just be there for them. And you guys are, I mean, truly, truly angels among us. I cannot thank you enough for what you're doing. But if you're out there, if you're motivated, you want to learn more about this, go onto the website, lifestorieswell.org. Consider being a volunteer, and you're not going to regret it. I absolutely love the work that you guys do, and I wish we had more time to chat with you guys.
Give
this
them money.
Yes, donate. Yes.
Give
yes.
them
yes.
money.
Donate.
Yes.
If you don't have the time, the 10 to 15 hours, donate so that they can help find help for these children here as well. But Maria and Abby, you guys are wonderful. I mean, wonderful representation. Abby, throw out your real estate business, by the way.
Yeah. I am Team Workman with Sears Real Estate.
There you go.
Here
team.
In Greeley.
Okay. Well,
awesome.
Thank you so much for what you're doing here in our community. Both of you, honestly, would love to do this again really, really soon. So put a little pressure on Susan and Maddie to get you guys back in here because you guys are great, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Bye, guys.
LifeStoriesWeld.org. Check it out. Let's get the latest in the tech world. Here's Kim Command.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.